How's Unspoken doing?
Unspoken's doing great. We're working on some new music, and we're taking a little bit of a sabbatical for the next couple months, but we're playing one weekend a month, and so that's what's bringing us up to the Northeast on in February. Excuse me. And so we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to being out and playing, but we're also enjoying kind of taking some time with our families and even our own spirituality and walk with the Lord. So it's good all the way around.
Now, give us a little update on your family, just so people will know, because people put you up there pretty high on a pedestal, just so you know. So I want I want Chad to say, listen, I'm just a down-home guy that has talent.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, in fact, you know, one of the reasons we're taking this little sabbatical is because we're just dealing with a lot of anxiety from my wife is really struggling with anxiety, kind of grew up in an abusive home and has been doing fine all these years, but all of a sudden she just felt like she was falling apart inside. And so, you know, it's been a pretty wild season the last year. I was super, super busy. All this kind of went down last Christmas, right as we're about to go on this big tour with David Crowder, and then we go right on the tour with Casting Crowns and right into Summer Dudes and Mercy Me in the fall. And so it was a busy year, and at the same time, I wasn't able to be home as much for the family, and so it was a difficult year. But I will say that absolutely, we are normal people going through normal things in life. You know, my wife is a mom, and three kids, and we've had conversations about, does my life have any purpose, you know, other than changing diapers and washing floors and doing laundry? And obviously, you know, all of us go through kind of different seasons, whether it's in our regular jobs or in our lives as stay-at-home parents or whatever, where perseverance is just the key. And, you know, Jesus said, Paul talked about, actually, James, brother of Jesus, in his book, he talks about perseverance having to finish its work in order for us to become like Jesus. So when we get into these hard seasons, what we're learning is just putting one foot in front of the other, taking one day at a time, and, you know, trying to find an attitude of praise in the midst of all of it. And that process right there is one of the things that makes us like Jesus. And so we know that God is working behind the scenes, and just an encouragement to people that are going through, whether it's addiction. I've come out of addiction 15 years right now, and so I know what that's like. And we're dealing with anxiety in our home and trying to, you know, conquer that, you know, through Jesus and all of these different things. And I'll just say, one of the greatest things that we have is hope. And without the Lord, you know, people just don't have hope. I mean, they can have false hope and things that, you know, and positive thinking. And if their situation gets better somehow financially or this or that, but Jesus is the only thing that brings us true hope and in true despair. So when we're in despair, there's hope. And so don't lose hope. Persevere one day at a time. Just keep pushing forward. God is working behind the scenes. And, you know, that's kind of what we're going through right now.
Wow. Certainly give our friends something to pray for with you about. So that's a good thing to know. We can do that. And that's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Because I know, you know, I'm just thinking about you and the guys in the group. You all got families and kids and all that, you know, when you wrap all the people involved in the group Unspoken, that's a lot of people to deal with there and keep the thing going, man.
It is. And I think, you know, the thing that we need to do is, and the thing that we've tried to do over the years is just stay close to the Lord, as individuals and as a family. And then as well as just have a lot of conversations with our spouses and just say, hey, is this, you know, where we still feel God's leading us, and all of these different things, and, you know, when we're traveling, what's that look like? I mean, for us, we don't do a lot of tours that are, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks or more out at a time. We try to stick to the 5-day or under. It just makes it way more doable with our families and young kids at home and all of that. So communication is key. I think that's just such a big thing, just to keep talking these things through. And I've learned this over the years. I feel like over the years I haven't had to want to have conversations because I didn't want things to not go my way or the way I thought they should go. And I've come to the realization that if I trust in the will of God and His leading, His Spirit's leading, that I can have any of these conversations. And I know that if we're listening to the Lord and wanting to follow His will, He's going to lead us where He wants us to be, and it's nothing that we have to be scared about. It's something that, you know, that draws us closer together as a family.
Now, on a little bit of a side note, because Ariel is known, and I follow him on Twitter. He's kind of a social butterfly, I guess, isn't he? He's kind of known for that. But you may be that way as well. I just don't know about it, maybe. But I was thinking about Ariel. What?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ariel. Yeah.
Now, he's got family in Puerto Rico, right?
He does. And, in fact, you know, we've done, he's done. I'm not going to say we. He has worked really hard with a couple of different organizations, and some of our fans and friends have helped out and bought generators and different things like that. He worked with an organization to get 40 tons of food down there. And so he was actually just there last week delivering more generators and more food and gift cards for, kids' Christmases and all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, much love to him for really having a passion to be the hands and feet of Christ and use an Unspoken's platform as well to try to help get some resources down there. So he's a wonderful, wonderful friend, and I love having him. I love having him in the group.
What a season you guys are going through, I tell you. Now, you know, we kind of like, maybe it's just me personally, but I think we all like kind of the music that we grew up on listening to you because we know the words and everything. You're still going to be, like, in the concert doing a lot of the old things that you're known for?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as far as our songs that we've had out on the radio and stuff from the beginning, we try to play at least a little bit of all the quote-unquote hits that we've had.
Yeah.
But then we also do a kind of a fun little flashback into our own musical history and play some songs that we grew up on as well, and so that's kind of fun. And
it's a lot of fun.
Kind of a surprise.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. We like that. I mean, people almost like it too much.
And I said, geez, you know, these normal songs, you're more excited about these normal throwback 80s and 70s and 90s songs than you are about our songs, doggone.
Pastor's taking notes, I'm telling you. I noticed something, you know, I think your version of Feliz Navidad is the only one we played this year. Kudos to you, Chad.
Thank you.
And then I like Jackie Velasquez, but did you know Jackie Velasquez does a song called Unspoken, which I thought was kind of an interesting twist on names. But anyway.
No, that's fun. Actually, Ariel, we had a Mercedes Sprinter van, you know, if you've ever seen those, like, big, you know, I guess UPS or FedEx will use those Sprinter vans. And so back in the day, you know, we started in a 1994 Fleetwood Cadillac, and we moved up to, someone gave us a Jeep Cherokee, and then we bought a Suburban, and then we bought a 15-passenger van, and we bought about eight of those. And finally we graduated to a Sprinter van, and which had bunks in it and all of these kind of things. And then the Lord really showed up and supernaturally provided for us to get a bus, and Jackie Velasquez is married to Nick, who is the lead singer and guitar player from Salvador, which is a Christian band, one of the greatest bands in our industry for sure. They didn't have a lot of radio songs, but as far as a live band, they're probably the best. And so they're married, and they ended up buying our Sprinter van from us, and Ariel was over at their house for dinner a little while ago and just says they're the greatest people.
What a neat story that is. That is pretty awesome. I like that. You guys are all connected and pretty cool. You actually are really cooler than us. So there you go.
It's just a facade, you know, just that our job is maybe a little cooler. Some people think our jobs are cool. It's kind of like being in radio, you know, but the fact of the matter is people don't understand of the sacrifices and the work and all of that in which goes into following your passion. People always ask me, you know, what can I do to get a record deal or to, you know, be a professional musician? And I usually just say, listen, you most likely, if I could tell you and you could have followed us for the last 15 years, you would have wanted to give up way before, because it's hard to be poor and gone from your family and all of these different things. But I always tell people, hey, use whatever gift you've been given to serve others, and God will make a way for you in whatever way that he sees fit. And so whether that's music or contracting or painting or math and numbers, I mean, all of us have gifts to use them to serve people and to glorify God. And so I was just listening to Christian TV in the back lounge of our bus, and they were talking about how God never gives us a gift to keep for ourselves, you know, so that we, you know, whether it's our resources or whether it's our the gifts and talents that we have, you know, we're supposed to live our lives with our hands open, and the gifts that he gives to us are so that we can pour out and give to others. And then it's just a cycle. He keeps putting them back, and we keep giving it out. He keeps putting it back.
That is a very good point. A lot of people figure, well, at least I know about one person that figured that out when they took a mission trip to Mexico and saw the poverty there, and then wondered why they were so blessed and what's going on, God, and then realizing, oh, I see, that's so I can help them out. I can give it to them. So we should all figure that out. That's pretty cool. I'm glad you guys did. Pretty amazing. So you watch TV. What else do you do? Now, if you guys are together, I mean, I don't care how big your coach is or whatever it is, you know, a bunch of guys together traveling like that. What is it that you do to keep your sanity?
Well, all of us are, you know, we're all older. I know that's relative, but, you know, we're not 19 anymore. You know, I think the youngest guy in our group is 35, and the oldest guy is 52.
Ooh.
And so, you know, we've learned how to kind of take our time to space out our trips and stuff. But on the most part, we all love each other. We get along super well. And so you've got, you know, our keyboard player, Don, and John will go out and you know, look for instruments and things like that at pawn shops or on Craigslist or whatever. And Ariel will usually kind of find somewhere to be quiet for a little bit, and a lot of us will either go to our hotel room or stay in the bus. I usually stay in the bus or at the venue and hang out with people for a while, and we do a lot of writing music on the road as well. We'll find coffee shops, things like that. And so, you know, we find ways to figure it out. Some of us sleep, you know, take the opportunity to sleep so we can be rested and up and at them when we get home with our families and kids. So, but again, it's wonderful because we all love each other. We all know we're here to serve the Lord, to serve each other. And when you have that kind of attitude, things just, you know, go pretty well and pretty easy.
You may be like me. I've been making up songs like on the spot and singing about them in certain situations. And most of the time, people that are around me give me a look and tell me not to. And my wife just tells me you're embarrassing to be quiet. But I kind of enjoy it. It's kind of therapeutic. But you guys obviously have a talent. And I know that you've written, I know the volume of songs that you write is off the charts. I think people who didn't know that would be stunned by the number of songs. You know, thinking that you, oh, well, they've got to come up with like 10 songs because they got to do an album. You know, to write.
Oh, totally, yeah. I think we had written close to 100 songs for our first record and 60 songs for our second. And so hopefully it'll be less this time as we get, you know, better at at the craft of writing, but ultimately, you know, we just kind of sit there and we love to write songs. So I think, you know, when we're writing 60 songs for a record, we know, sometimes we know, okay, this song's not going to make it, but we've already started it. Let's finish it because we love to write. And so it also keeps our creative things going, which is interesting. You know, the Christian music market, it's like the people who buy Christian music want to be inspired and encouraged and led into worship. And I was thinking about this the other day. You know, they don't want necessarily, at least the majority, it doesn't seem to be, love songs, or, you know, they have other artists that they could go to hear great love songs, you know?
The point.
And so for us to be able to write a bunch of songs, even if no one hears them, it's therapeutic, and it helps us be creative in the process of finding the right songs that are going to really mean something to the people that are listening to our music.
That's a very good point. You got to keep playing. You got to keep singing and doing things. That's what you do. That's what God put inside of you. So you're going to be here on the 21st. You're going to be near Albany, and then you're going up to Maine for a couple of days. That's in February. Then you're coming back to Goodwill in Montgomery. That's where Orange County Choppers. You ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they're out of right there. They're probably coming. They might come to the concert. Wouldn't it be cool? That'd be neat, wouldn't it? Those guys.
That would be rad. Of course, yeah. You know, the Fu Manchu would make us all feel like girl, you know, little girls. Because that dude's so manly. But man, we love coming to the Northeast. It's wonderful. We love when people come out to our shows, obviously. We're always there until the last person standing.
Wow.
After the shows, hugging people, praying for people, talking to people. And so that's a big part of what we do, what we love to do. We always have a blast coming up to the North, although my Puerto Rican bandmates are usually like, why the heck are we going to Maine in February?
I kind of wondered that myself, Chad, but that's okay. You know, that's you can do it. It's no big deal. People do it all the time. They survive. You get the T-shirt, you're good. I just pray that you guys have a wonderful time. I really do, and I appreciate you talking to me. Your time is valuable.
Because we love the fact that we get to serve the Lord and use our gifts, and it's not always easy. And there's, you know, I think that's the greatest thing is that, you know, we're so closely related as human beings that we're all going through things that are testing our faith and drawing us close to the Lord. But I found in my life so many times that the hard things that we face are some of the greatest blessings, because until we realize that we have a need, that we have need, we can't even come and approach the throne of God. We have to recognize our need first in salvation, you know, for salvation. But then we have to remember that our need doesn't change just because our lives might be doing a little better. Like, I don't need God any less now that I'm not a drug addict. Right. I need him just the same. It's just different things. And so, you know, I'm trying to embrace the hardships that we have as a catalyst to bring me closer to Jesus. And it's really a wonderful thing, even though it doesn't always feel like it.
Well, you, Chad, and Unspoken are definitely on a higher call. And may you fight the good fight and start a fire and be lifted up because you know the cure. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. God bless you, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We're looking forward to it, and I hope this wasn't too much of a downer interview. Or just going, you know, it's one of those rainy days for one.
And, yeah, right.
But our concert is going to be uplifting and funny and fun, and, you know, the Spirit of God's going to be there. And so we've got John Tibbs coming with us, who's on the same record label as Mercy Me, and then we've got our good friend Paris Morgan, who helped us write Good Fight, and we've got lights and sound. I mean, we got a whole big production, but I think it's the best part is that the Lord's going to be with us, and we're going to have a blast doing it. So come on out.
Well said, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. All right. So continue on. We'll see you.
You got it, my friend.
We'll probably see
Thank you.
See you on the 25th or something. Okay.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.